Now let's lift our hands together as a church and say, Dear Father, in the name of your Son Jesus, in this service, we receive in our purified hearts revelation knowledge found in your Son alone. We believe and receive direction and instruction by your Spirit. Together as a church, we behold Jesus Christ, your Son, even as he sees us in him. In this service, he is glorified as we are edified alongside the body of Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. Genesis 1. Now I'm not in Matthew, so we'll go to Matthew. I'm going to run quick. We've continued our series on building blocks of effective and healthy relationship. How many got blessed last week on that? Come on. Come on, let me see your hand. Yeah, good. So we want to continue on that this week. And building blocks of effective and healthy relationships. And last week we said, man is always a product of influence, no doubt. But man is made to relate. And man is made for relationships. And God teaches us that even from nature. He said that last week, that you were a relationship birthed you. God made two people know each other, develop a relationship, brought you to the earth. And that's really in itself God's direction for our lives. He wants us to be fruitful in the earth. He wants us to fulfill his work in the earth. I mean, replenish the earth, have dominion, Genesis 1, but by relationships. Genesis 1, we're going to read 26. Let us make man in our image and after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. And God created man in his image. In the image of God created him. So the emphasis is the image of God, the word Selem. Then in T-S-E-L-E-M. Then in 28, God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, have dominion. So we said that this is a function of relationship. This is not necessarily procreation. This is a function of relationships. God's dominion in the earth is through his temple. Genesis 2, 20 to 23, 24. We saw that before. And so you and I already know our purpose on earth. Our purpose on earth is to act as God's image. In other words, your life is a representative capacity. You are in a representative capacity. And so in saying that, we said, God is a relational being. Therefore, if we would be his image or act as his image, it should be seen in our relationships. Jesus said in Deuteronomy chapter, the same thing, in Matthew 22, verse 37, when they asked him, what is that great commandment of the Lord? He said, thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, might, and soul. And that is from Deuteronomy 6 and 5 and 4 though. And it says, what? Then the second is like the first one. Thou shalt love your neighbor. Now, they were asking for one. All right? And that had to do with your worship of God. Then it says, there's a second one. And which means, in your fellowship with God, there's a second aspect of your relationship with God. It has to do with others. So I said in the first service, your relationship with God is measured by your relationship with men. Okay? So you must therefore know that the way you handle relationships, treat relationships, is a demonstration of how your relationship with the Lord is. Okay? So, which means that I must pay more attention to relationships. Did you hear that? I must pay more attention to my relationships. There is no Christian life that is personal to you. You've studied this over the years. He's my personal savior. That's how God deals with me. All those kind of things are not from the word of God. Now, does God deal with us individually? Yes, but for a collective purpose. So you must see that your purpose is amongst men. And therefore, your attitude to relationships matters a lot. So we opened up and said, in the first service, we said that sin is first detected in Genesis 3. But the manifestation of sin in the Bible is in a relationship. Cain and Abel. How did Cain see his brother? So I'm just going to summarize the first service. The first thing we saw, and we saw this pattern in Genesis. Cain and Abel. Jacob and Esau, secondly. Then we also saw Joseph and his brothers. When God puts you in a relationship, right, and he chooses to use your friend, not you, your brother, not you. Now, you must not develop, we said in the first service, an entitlement mentality. It has to be me. No, it doesn't have to be you. And God chooses to use your brother. I said in the first service that God chose Abel to be his prophet, okay, to be his priest. But Abel's ministry is for Cain. You see, if we don't realize that the people that we seem to envy, okay, in the sense of the work of the ministry, for example, or anyway whatsoever, that God brought them into our lives to put in their lives what he wants to bless us with, we'll get to start envying people we ought to receive from. That happened to Cain. And so we said in the earlier service, you must watch your emotions. We said Cain started with emotions. His countenance fell. And you start to grumble, and then your face is changing. And then you say, how is your face like? That's how I was born. And you're lying. When I was in secondary school, I used to frown at my seniors. I would just frown. And I would frown. So one senior called me and said, no, you can't come here. The bad part was I was in Field House. He was in that yeah house called Powell House. Yeah, my friend's going to get angry. That's the problem. So, and then he said, why are you always frowning? I said, that's how I was born. He said, eh. He said, I'm going to make your life miserable. When he was done with the kind of punishment he gave me, I started laughing like I had laughing gas. He said, snap! You know, that's crazy. So the truth is, sometimes you just put up appearances. And you frown. Then he says, from the countenance, you move to envy. And the point about that particular scenario was that Jesus referred to it in John 8. And how did it come about that? Because don't forget, the Pharisees were his brothers, naturally speaking. So they moved from their countenance to envy till they planned to kill him. So we said in the first service, watch your emotions, because your emotions can turn you to an animal. An animal. You will do things you never imagined you could do, because you didn't check it. You didn't check it from the point where you started feeling grumpy about something, rather than put it under check by the Spirit, you started to justify that mood, you know, and all that, till you got yourself to the point of no return. So we said, just like Absalom. Absalom was annoyed. His father did not do the right thing about his brother and his sister. He kept it for 2 years. By the second year, he became a serial killer. So you can, if you don't check your emotions. And let me tell you, look up, guys. I'm going to say something to you. Look at me. There are three things I want you to write down as the word of the Lord. You will never have all your desires met in this life. I hope you know. Write it down. This is from church. You know, here I don't tell you things like, every desire of yours is met in Jesus' name. Amen. Some of your desires right now is that the service will end quickly. How can that one be met? The second thing is that you will never find perfect people. Never. Even if you have perfect people, you have imperfect situations. The third thing, put your name in that second one. Is that clear? So I say, there's no perfect church in the world. If there was a perfect church, the day you join it, it becomes imperfect. So which means, I want to ask them number three. People will always step on your toes. Watch the shoes you buy. Okay? People will, your wife will do it, your husband will do it, your best friend, your pastor, the flock, your colleagues at work, and it has nothing to do with whether that relationship is of God or not. Are we clear? Aha! You get the kind of shoes. Remember somebody here said this in, those is the Rema Chapel, remember? He was talking about something that day. Then he said, it was straight from Isaiah 65. In 66, and he spoke about how, since God said, before you call, I will answer you. So he just applied that principle, and you know, it blessed me a lot that day he said it. That in all our relationships, we must have the law of advanced forgiveness. That means I'm prepared to forgive in an advanced method. You know, we said last week that the distance between your expectation and reality is what? Disappointment. So in order not to have regular disappointments, reduce your expectations. Okay? So, now, having said that, I said, there will be things you want in your life that God won't give you. Talking about as a Christian now, He'll give other people. You will learn to have good relationships, honor them, respect them, and be loyal to God. God gave Abel, not Cain. It goes through scripture, right? That there are times in our lives, what you desire to become somebody else is. And it's to test the sincerity of your heart. Sometimes as a closer home, as friends, is left for you to honor those relationships and build them effectively. And the first service looked at things like strife, prevent strife, Abraham and Lot. We said Abraham took the highway. Lot wanted, he said he didn't want the strife, but he got Sodom. Abraham took the highway. He gave him Sodom. The next chapter, Lot was already captured. I mean, you could have heard him say, hey, I said it. He thinks he knows everything. He thinks he can do this. Abraham didn't do that. Abraham did not try to use that situation to leverage. He maintained the healthy nature of that relationship. He goes to rescue Lot. He didn't stop there. Lot got Sodom by greed, by avarice. Abraham, kept becoming his help. The next 2-3 chapters, Lot got, this destruction in Sodom, because Lot also had to, probably I'll talk about this later on, Lot also got himself involved in unrighteousness in one form or the other. Abraham goes there, he prays. He prays for him. Lot is rescued. Lot eventually got into trouble with his daughters. His wife got, became salt. You can go on and on. But the point is, Abraham took the highway at each instance. So, sometimes you and your friends can have a disagreement. They get into trouble. That is not supposed to be for you an avenue to exercise your so-called wisdom and deep insight and you're being right. No. We said also in the first service, we looked at Noah and his sons. And we said, his son, Ham, decided to show his father's nakedness to others. And we said the word show that we mentioned is the word nagad. It means to explain it, expound it, and then pronounce it and denounce what he has done. And we said you don't do that. You don't do that to friends. You cover friends. What did I say? Did you hear what I just said? 1 Peter 4:8, love covers the multitude of sins. Now that doesn't mean you cover up and not correct your friend and tell your friend, hey, that what you did, you messed up. No. But you cover your friend. Cover his weakness, our weakness, his vulnerabilities. That's the job of relationships. Is that clear? Said that all. We also said place of envy. That strong emotion where you feel, how is this person being celebrated? I'm not celebrated. You must therefore watch your emotions. Did you hear me? What you can easily know you are about to get into the flesh by your emotions. You know it. You're feeling grumpy. Suddenly, you're murmuring. There's no way. See, watch me. There's no spirit-inspired murmuring. Even if you're speaking tongues on that, you're just deceiving yourself. Watch your emotions. You're about to wreck a relationship. Watch your emotions. And ensure that you deal with it. Deal with it. And in closing the first service, I said this, that when you start discovering that there is that kind of emotion towards someone, handling those things is not writing a beautiful post on Facebook, because now all of us live there. Writing a beautiful post on Facebook or Instagram, that one is entertainment. How you know sincerely your attitude or heart to people, for example, there will be people who will see their pastors and they will kneel down and prostrate together. Yes, sir. You're a blessing to me, sir. You are the greatest gift. But in their hearts, they are not bowing down. when they are alone, when they are where everybody is, they pretend. God sees that. So I told you in the first service, then in the first service, when you are alone is when you will deal with those emotions. Because that is when you will know how possessed you are. Yes, you will know the kind of demons that are in your bedroom. Some are in your living room. So it depends on the kind of nahos you build for everyone. Or heroes, temple place. So you just say, You begin to speak God's word alone. That one that you are doing publicly is for the show.
I love you. I believe in you.
Put that aside. When you are alone, right? And then what do you say from your heart? That is how to deal with offenses. It's not when you are public. In public, you want to act like a Christian. All of us know how to do it. Bless you. Amen. Shonda. Hallelujah. Those are two brethren. You know, they like to greet themselves. Ah, bless you, brother. So they'll be bowing. Bless you, brother. So that day, unfortunately, they both, you'll say, bless you, bless you, bless you. So it's not what you do publicly. What do you do in your heart when you're alone? So say you deal with that. You deal with your emotions when you're alone. So we were in Genesis 37, Joseph and his brothers. You know the funny thing about Joseph and his brothers? Right? Now let me ask you, was Joseph their savior? Huh? Did God call Joseph to save them? But they were envying him. So the flesh will blind you from the benefits and the spiritual effectiveness of that relationship. You begin to fight people that you should be praying with and praying for. You began to envy him. Genesis 37. Verse 11 says, they envied him. His father observed the sayings. Now the thing about it was, Joseph was also immature. Obviously he was naive. But that didn't change anything. See, the character defect of people that God has brought into your life is not an excuse. People are going to grow up. God will bring people into your lives that they are also growing up. Your spouse, your friend, your business partner, and they are in your life. And they are all growing together. But you know what? You are not in people's lives to spot their error. Did you hear what I said? Let me say it again. You are not in people's lives to spot their error. Write this down. No relationship grows in the atmosphere of fear and condemnation. That's it. Many people, right, in their homes, a lot of people know them, say many, you know, I've seen the examples. You know, the guy comes home, the woman comes home, morning till night, examination. They are writing tests. Did you? Didn't you? Have you? Haven't you? Said you? Said you not? Who did? Who did not? Hey! Say, I did. Why? Two questions. That's 1A, 1B. Because I came early. Why did you come early? 1C. Morning till night. So oftentimes they will now go to the wrong hands who deceitfully will be welcoming. If it's home, don't make home work camp. Don't make your house barracks. Sorry for that. I take that back. I mean, military camp. Here you go. Just everybody's trying to be right. Why should you bring contention to everything? I'm right. I'm wrong. I'm right. I'm wrong. Ah! Okay, we are both right. Come and beat me. So really, you know, you should make your life a home for your friends, for family. A home for your friends and family. Someone called me, a family member, and she just 2 days ago, yesterday, said, I'm calling you because I know two things about you. I know you're a pastor. That's really not the issue. So I know that you can keep confidential information. I've known this person all my life. So I know. I've watched him. So I'm telling you so that you can pray for me. Family member. And I told myself, Lord, I want to keep that reputation. Because I kind of said, is it true? You know those kind of people say, yeah? Oh, confession of faith, you know? But I trust God that is true. So I said, okay, I'll pray. You know, and that's what our relationships are like. Don't be in people's lives to be looking for, no. Yes, we correct each other. We will see that in a moment. We grow together. But you are there, right, to promote the other person. God's going to use your friends to do things He's not using you for that you also desire. So you must be ready to deal with that complex. I call it sense of entitlement. They became jealous. Genesis 26. You have that also. They became jealous. And verse 14. Just like the Philistines were jealous of Isaac, they became jealous. Genesis 30 verse 1. Envy. Quena in the Hebrew. It's called a strong emotion of want. A strong emotion of want. So all that happened. Yet God gave Joseph a dream for all of them. So I said it to you earlier. See. And I'm saying this for ministry really. Whatever anybody has is for you. It's for you. If God is using someone, it's for you. So they were short-sighted. Okay. And blind-sighted as well. And for Joseph, because God worked it out in the middle of all that, because in the middle of all that, God will work whatever is available. He worked out character in Joseph. So whilst Joseph was growing up, because Joseph had to grow up, he had to grow up, spiritually speaking. He had to grow up to know how to keep quiet. You know, he got to Egypt, and Potiphar liked him. And Potiphar made him the head of his whole household. You know, imagine Joseph will have ruined relationships with past bitterness. I'm going to read something to you. And this was from a minister as well, but he's a public speaker. His name is call him Mr. Nicky, or that's his name. And I saw a beautiful thing he said about marriages. And I'm just going to read it to you. He says, our conflict resolution approach for marriages tend to proceed from a flawed premise. The belief that there's a fight to settle. Many marriage problems have no fight component. A couple can have a perfectly terrible marriage without a single fight. The issue may be an unresolved past of one of the parties. It may be from abuse of a past relationship, bullying in school, issue with parents, etc. Some parents are so accusatory. Wow. They blame, accuse, even curse their children. They are constantly making demands. Nothing their son or daughter does is good enough. Relating with them causes pain and bitterness. Without resolution, that bitterness was carried now into your marriage. We tend to take out our issues on the person that is closest to us. It's why we lash out at our partners. We lash out just anyhow. This leaves the partner wondering, let me put it in my word, kinimushi, what have I done wrong? Because the accusations from the parents are leaving criminations, lacerations on the heart of the partner. That becomes constant. There will be no quarrel, but there just will not be peace. There will be despite with tone of affection, emotional abuse. The spouse will keep trying to solve the wrong problem. Hatred soon develops. It's a progression of people despite. Somebody's mental health will suffer. There'll be depression. Depression will become contagious. The air in that home will be toxic. No oxygen. Wow. Intimacy will suffer. And that creates its own set of pressures. If indulged, those pressures will create a new set of problems. Accusations will ensue and the circle becomes complete. The accused becomes the accuser. We need to resolve issues from our past before going into marriage. If we don't, we'll end up punishing those who love us. If there are issues, alright, see your pastor. So you have things like that. Imagine Joseph in the house of Potiphar. And he's always talking about his past, you know. My father was okay to my brothers. That's why today I don't trust anybody. I just watch myself. Don't want anything, you know. And Potiphar will say, are you able to help us open the gate? I can't open anything. Ah, I don't want anybody to come and hit me again and say because, you know, and you now transfer that into every relationship.
you become toxic. He wasn't grumbling everywhere. And you should know that he didn't carry that around himself. That's why Potiphar's wife fell in love with him or liked him. I like you. Until she got him into trouble. And the tweet went around the world. And the guy was okay. He went to jail. He didn't get to jail again and he sat down in one corner. Joe, what's the problem? This life. Oh, this life. This is super story. He didn't do that. Again, he became the happy-go-lucky guy. He's just happy. The jailer, head of the jail, put him in charge again. You know, he didn't carry the hurt of the past. So, no matter what has been done wrong to you, God is able to make it grow for you. Who's following what I'm saying this morning? You can take advantage of it and you grow in the process. So if you don't, and the way to do it, you let go. You rebuild and build. Here he goes. He transfers the aggression. I've sat down with couples before and friends too, and I kind of felt, this is not the problem. And I'm trying to see what is the problem. And I can't find the problem. I don't know. And I'm thinking, come, let me have a conversation with you. Is there somebody else you are fighting that is not present here? That happens a lot. Some guys will leave a church they didn't like. They come to a church that likes them and they don't like the church. You say, we should give. Again? Am I the one that collected the first one from you? You get it? Because they just transfer it. And they wreck relationships. Okay? So, Joseph didn't do that. He learn to keep building good relationships. He built a good one with Potiphar. Of course, the one with the Potiphar's wife could have been unhealthy. He ran from that. He got to the prison. He built a good relationship again. He didn't say, "Oh, I'm just on my own. I'm not going to relate. Or they say, Joseph, can you help us take care of things in the prison? As a prisoner? You want to put me as a head of prisoners? Is that a responsibility? Me that I saw a vision and people were bound, including my father and mother, they were bound. Return to center for you in Jesus' name. You are the one that will help prisoners. No. He just was good. You can let go of bitterness and hurt and be a good person. Later on I say, my past does not define me. I don't think I say my past doesn't define me. So you can actually be, you can let go of it. I mean, look at all his brothers. All his brothers plan to kill him. There's nothing that can make you so more bitter than that. All his brothers. If you can say anything, say, my father can, he don't even look for me. He didn't know that they told him he was dead. He did not even look for me. Is that a father? Is that a father? Someone now comes to you and say, I want to be like a father to you. I don't need anyone, sir. I don't understand. Why? I'm dealing with some issues. They will wreck covenant relationships. He gets there again. And these two guys, he interprets a dream. The one that got to the palace forgot. He didn't forget. He just didn't talk about it. How will you forget how you got out? He just didn't talk about it. What if he stayed in the prison and said, just moody. Joe? And I had depression. I'm experiencing depression. Nobody appreciates me. Nobody wants me. Daddy and mom. Bra Ruben. He begins to tell his story. I even tried to be faithful. I tried to be faithful. To just forget him. Because what was Pastor Simon this morning? I just forgot it. But look at it again. The house of Potiphar. I tried to be holy unto God. They sent me to jail. Even God could not come to my... But it's God. I can't say anything against God. I don't want to go to hellfire. But and I pray that day. He could not fight for me. But I trust him. She's so sweet. I'm here again. You are now saying you have dream. I let go of the past, like Pastor said. And I interpreted the dream. They could not even talk about it. I saw him on Instagram. He just said, I thank God for my release. God? He even mentioned Jay. When he said, I thank Jay, I thought I heard Joseph said Jesus. He'll have died in depression. And when they said, the guy said, there's Joseph in prison. I've gone there and said, he died last year. What happened? Or he tried to escape. And they shot him. Hallelujah. Are you following what I say here? You don't transfer aggression. Same thing, you know Lagos. You have queued at the first station. You have been there for 6 hours. People have cursed you. You have held your breath not to curse because you are a man of God. They say, is your mercy expired? Has it expired? They say, down in my heart. Now, 6 hours. They now say we cannot sell more than 10 liters. Are you not the one who used to preach? You tell us that we are not of this world. Why are you not following this? Okay, just give me 10, let me go. Then you go to home. And then your son just, daddy, how are you? Have you done your homework? It's not your homework I'm particularly about. It's where you that is bothering you. Are they the ones that did you? Or do you? Don't transfer it. Is that clear? What did you say? Do we said about communication? Just say, that work was somehow. They're just they will understand. But not just that is in the his natural mood. He has entered into his office. So when Joseph was called, he was there. Hallelujah. He fulfilled his relationship, he fulfilled God's purpose for his life by treating relationships well. Did you hear what I just said? Now, to know that the thing is not happenstance. When eventually the father came and he rescued them. He had the power to put them in jail. All of them. He didn't. Just like Abraham. Because they said, we're sorry. Because I believe they also had remorse. He said, no, you thought it was evil. God used it for his good. Glory to God. God used those circumstances to build him into a better person. Some of the raw materials for your growth in life are not going to be comfortable. But let God use them. Amen? You follow what I'm saying this morning? So what happens? Of course, he also felt like his brother, father. He wanted his son, Ephraim. The Lord chose Manasseh. And then God chose Ephraim. And he's upset, but he goes over it. Then when the father dies, his brothers, they thought he was hiding his grievance. They now went to doctor an email from their father and said, Joe, before daddy died, he wrote this. Please forgive your brothers. Don't offend them. They were lying. Said, our father said you should forgive us. He said you should not do anything. He now smiled. He said, you don't have to say that. I have forgiven you. You thought it for evil. God meant it for good. So this was a man who had overcome his past. Is that very clear? It makes you a healthy person. Carrying hurt makes you a diseased person. Let it go. Don't join a church and spread disease. It's contagious. Don't get married and hurt the people that didn't do anything to you. Don't get into a relationship because your former business partner. You ate breakfast. Someone explained that to me on Friday. I didn't know what it meant. Don't do that. You can be healthy, right, from what had gone wrong before and build this relationship well. Who's following what I'm saying here? Is that very clear? So Joseph was that example of this guy who is able to build and build again. He walked in love. So let's see Aaron and Moses and Miriam. Now, of course, Moses had a healthy relationship with his father-in-law, Jethro. Jethro was able to speak to him. We said this earlier in the first service, that God used someone like Sarah, who was Abraham's wife. Now, in their culture, she's subservient to him. But God breaks the hold of that and uses Sarah to speak to Abraham. And I said to us in the morning that God will use your children, your spouse, those you pastor to talk to you. You must be open. God uses all your relationships. You see, I'm your pastor. If I take crucial decisions in this ministry, anytime I do, I listen to other people who are leaders in church. I just listen to them. I ask for their suggestions. So now I ask them to go and pray. Then I come back, and they don't know what I'm doing. I'm just trying to hear. Because I know I taught them to be led by the Spirit of God. So they come back and say, well, we think this, we think that. We go around it, then I know from what they say, and what I know, what God is saying. You must know how to use these relationships to the glory of God. You cannot know everything. You cannot hear God all the time. You've got to know how to maximize relationships that God has given to you. Now, Satan is smart. He will plant strife ahead of that benefit. He will plant grievance, hurt, anger, and all those emotional outbursts so that the benefit of that relationship becomes truncated. But you and I are over the world. We are above the world in Jesus' name. And we walk in the Spirit, and we fulfill God's plan in all our relations. Can I have an amen to that? Amen. Look at Numbers. Numbers 11. Miriam knew who Moses was. Aaron knew. But they were family. Numbers 12, I mean. They were family. Now, I'm going to say this later. I said, watch out for familiarity. Familiarity sometimes is when you move from privilege to entitlement. We all fall into that trap. You meet people for the first time, it's like a privilege. After a while, you think you are entitled to it. It's something you have to be careful for. Let me say this. This goes to your spouse, your friends. You know, yeah, thank God you're married now, you're close by, you're intimate, you're close, but you have to realize that it's still a privilege. That this woman is married to you, this man is married to you. It's a privilege that this fellow is a member of your church. It's a privilege that this fellow is your pastor. It's a privilege. We mustn't get to the point where privilege is no longer seen as privilege, is now an entitlement. Miriam did so well. She kept Moses alive, sent him to the house of Pharaoh's daughter. She served with him. She led worship for him in Exodus 15, 16, or 14 to 16. She led worship. She was doing good. Aaron is the other brother. Aaron is called to be his mouthpiece. He did it for a while. One day. And that one day comes to all of us. All of us. It comes to me. It comes to you. So we must guard our hearts. What did Aaron do? Because Aaron wasn't that strong. But Miriam, Numbers 12, spoke against Moses. You should never be against your friends. Did you hear me? You can disagree, but don't be against them. Did you hear what I just said now? You can disagree. You can say, I don't see it that way. But you see, the moment you are against someone, right, even if later on you are supposed to agree, I told you last week, ego will have come in. And sure, you don't do that. You don't oppose your friends. You can oppose things they say. You can disagree with their methods of things, but don't oppose your friends. What happens here? She was against. Why? Because he married an Ethiopian. That wasn't the real issue. Don't we all look for something to hold on to? That wasn't the real issue. But here they went. Now what did they say in verse 2? Numbers 12. Look at it. They said, had Lord spoken only by Moses? Had he not spoken by us also? And God heard them. And so you get to a point, let me say it again, where privilege becomes entitlement. Judas felt that, oh Lord, I want to serve you. Till he was able to betray him. Peter Move far away from me, I'm a sinner. Till he said, be far from you. Michal was honored to be David's wife. Till the point she said, why are you dancing like an idiot? So we all get to that point where we move from privilege to familiarity and contempt. Watch that in your relationship. Let me give you a simple rule. To guard all your relationships, always track back to how it started. The way, the door that got you into that relationship must be kept that way. Don't allow the hinges to move. Don't allow the doorknob to go off. Keep it that way. And you preserve all your relationships. Who's following what I'm saying this morning? Let me say I'm following. Come on. Okay, good. So you have Miriam. And notice that there's nobody so graced of God, so full of the word, that cannot fall into these traps. There's none of us. We are all human. The fact that we're in this world, we're open to its information and pressures and influence. It means we can relate like this world unconsciously. Miriam and Aaron. So you must not move from, I said, entitlement culture is a selfish culture. You are being selfish. Now, selfishness brings greed, envy, and jealousy. You know you can't correct your friends without being condemned, without condemning your friends, without opposing them. Now, I saw this. Let me just read that for you too. Now, of course, this interestingly, I got this from one of my academic classes, the master's program I run. So this fellow was the senior vice president of the head of business intelligence of an organization, international organization, but that's not the point. His name is Divesh Dagli. He said this. Now, listen to this very well. He said, learn from the Google Maps. So he said, have you ever noticed how Google Maps never yells, condemns, or castigates you if you take the wrong turn? It never raises its voice and says, you were supposed to go left at the last crossing. You idiot. Now, you are going to have to go the long way around. And it's going to take you so long a time. And you're going to be late for your meeting. Learn to pay attention and listen to my instruction. Okay? He said, no, he doesn't say that. Because if he did that, chances are that a lot of us might stop using it. But Google simply reroutes you and shows you the next best way to get there. Its primary interest is in getting you to reach your goal, not in making you feel bad for having made a mistake. There's a great lesson here. It's tempting to unload our frustration and anger on those who have made a mistake, especially those we are close with or familiar with us. But the wisest choice is to help in fixing the problem, not to blame. Have you had rerouting moments recently with others and also with your own selves? Be a Google Map to your children, family, teammates, and all those who matter to you and those that you care about. Did you learn from that? Very good. So you watch how you handle those moments, right? It mustn't be about you. When you see relationships that have taken years and years, someone told me one time and said, he spoke about a friend of mine who we've been in a relationship now 27 years. He said, how did you do it? I said, we've had hellfire. We've had moments of, I don't want to see you again. I don't want to ever talk to you again. All of us will have moments like that. But you'll have to walk in the spirit. I said, I have to see you no matter what. You are God's punishment in my life. I'm saying we say that we just joke about it. That what am I going to do with you now? I can't push you away. God has put you in my life to just make me humble, and He says the same. So that's how to see it. You must learn to correct each other properly. Now, are there times we have to be firm, yeah, and really be firm on our friends, but our motive is to get them to reach their goals in life. Okay, so remember. The Google Map can help you in how that you relate in family, friends, and all. Learn to carry the right countenance. Countenance matters. Did you hear me? Did you hear me? Your countenance matters a lot. That's how you appear. Countenance matters. God told Abel, Cain, why is your countenance falling? Why are you looking that way? Which means you can walk on your countenance. Walk on how you show your countenance. You can be upset. Tell your partner, your friend, you're upset, and yet put up a good countenance. We must learn, therefore, to build relationships without hurts of the past, without... Now, let me say this quickly. When you get judgmental, naturally in life, when you see judgmental people, they are hypocrites. One of the traits of hypocrites is that they're judgmental. That's what it is. So it's hypocrisy that makes you judge people wrongly. Look at Luke 18. This guy went to the temple and he simply said, I am not like this other guy. I mean, can you imagine? I pay my tithes. He said, I fast every week. I pray. I don't do this. I don't do that. And Jesus said, this one is more humble. He's more exalted. He's more justified than this other fellow. That's a hypocrite. So therefore, in our relationships, we cover, we affect positive. In the second service, third service, sorry, I'm going to talk about things to do at those moments. You must know how to handle those moments. So let's start this way. Know how to handle your past. Don't transfer your aggression to God's relationships for you. Don't transfer them. Deal with them. So that I tell people oftentimes, you have a breakout or break away from a relationship, and the next thing you want to quickly get into one to heal the heart. You are going to kill that person. It doesn't make sense. Give yourself time. All right? Work on your character. Ensure that you work on your character, your emotions. Firstly, you forgive. Because if you carry unforgiveness into this relationship, that fellow, brother, sister, friend, will be the beneficiary of your hurts. Forgive, walk in love. When you don't enter relationships hoping that it will heal hurts. No, it's God who heals hurts, and it's by our fellowship with Him in His Word, and we take care of that. Who's following what I'm saying this morning? Don't transfer aggression. Because what you're going to do in the new relationship, you're going to raise the bar so high. You're going to expect so much and then destroy people's, destroy your relationship with people, and not welcome what God is doing through their lives. So we have a duty to prevent strife, not to transfer yesterday's hurts till today. Look at 1 Samuel 18. Let's move away from that. Let's go to the positive things I need to do. So far we're looking at the negative things I must avoid. I must avoid strife, anger, bad mood, unforgiveness, transferring yesterday's aggression. We must avoid that. In 1 Samuel 18, we find a relationship in there. Now, it's such a relationship that people have assumed it's homosexual. In fact, some even transfer the same thinking to Jesus and the 12. Of course, that's warped thinking. But why would they say so? For Samuel 18. It came to pass that, this is about David, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David. And Jonathan loved him as his own self. This is a direct application of Leviticus 19:18. Love your neighbor as yourself. Jonathan loved him, we're going to see the meaning now, as his own self. In 1 Samuel 19, verse 4, Jonathan spake good of David to Saul, his father, and said, let not the king sin against his servant, against David, because he has not sinned against you, because his works have been very good towards you. Verse 5, he did put his life in the land, in his hand, and slew the Philistine, and the Lord wrought a great salvation for Israel, and he went on and on. So he is here, we're going to see that in a moment, speaking for his friend. Okay? Now, pay attention here. He loved him as himself. As himself. 1 Samuel 16:21. David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him. And he became his armor bearer.
that Saul, the dad, to David. But look at the comparison. He loved him as his own soul. Look at the difference. He loved him as his own soul. So this is the kind of friend you should be to others. And trust God for such friends in your life too. He loved him. Let's see what he does to him. He speaks for him. In relationship, you have a responsibility. He speaks for him. What else does he do? He celebrates him. 1 Samuel 19, he protects him. He celebrates him. He protects him. He speaks for him. The moment someone is your, pay attention, the moment someone is your friend, you have become his advocate. The moment someone is your friend, you have become his protector. The moment someone is in a relationship with you, you have become their defender. He loved him. And pay attention. This is the background we're going to see in a moment of John 15. Greater love as a man for his friend than he laid down his life. That is Jonathan for David. So it's not about going to the cross. Nobody needs you to go to the cross for them now. Jesus has done that for us. Is that clear? You need to now stick your neck out. Are you there? Come on now. Speak for your friends. Jonathan is not saying David is a perfect guy. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, hey, God used him to deliver all of us. He recognizes the grace of God upon his life. He should be jealous. I'm not going to be jealous. Come on. Do you know Jonathan should be jealous of David? His father loved him. Naturally, he should be looking at, why is he the guy everybody is talking about? No, he doesn't. He recognizes the grace of God upon his life. Now look at something else he does. 1 Samuel 18. Are you learning something? Verse 2. Saul took him that day and wouldn't let him go no more to his father's house. Verse 3. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his soul. Covenant is buried. It means they became partners. So, he didn't make a covenant, then started to love him. No. Covenant is friendship. He didn't become his friend, then wanted to love him. He became his friend because he loved him. So you build true friendship on genuine, sincere love. Now that's not all. I want us to read verse 4 together. Let's go. Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him. Let's go. And gave it to David and his garments, even to his sword, his bow, and his girdle. Jonathan will say later, you will be king after me. Sorry, first, I'll be king after you. That's Jesus. 1 John 3:16. We perceive the love of God that he laid down our life, his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for our brethren, our friends. So Jonathan is ready to have David take the shine. He's ready to defend him. What are you doing for your friends? What are you doing for your friends? What do you do for them in their absence? Now, when people come to me and tell me, so and so said this about you, the first question I ask is, how come they were able to say it when you were there? Now, ask all my friends. It's almost impossible to have a conversation with me about a friend of mine because it didn't even happen. How was it happening? Okay, so after they said so, what did you say? Well, I was just looking at them. Look who. I can get it. No, what did you say? Jonathan spoke up immediately. This man has done you nothing wrong. He's done you nothing wrong. He saved Israel. He hasn't sinned against God. He hasn't sinned against you. That's friendship. So he didn't just say it. He acted it. Is that what you do for your friends?
So later on, Jonathan dies with his father. David says, I want to honor my friend. He calls for Mephibosheth, who is physically impaired, and he brings him to the table with the king. So eventually Jonathan's dream was fulfilled through his son. He didn't make him a king, but he honored him. So which means my investments today in my relationships will affect my family, my children. And I can tell you this quickly. You know, my dad had this fellow who at some point, he was owing my father. He sold some stuff to him. That was millions of naira in the 90s. And my father took a loan from the bank for it. So this man was unfortunate. Somehow something happened to him. He was locked up by the military government then. So my dad had to find ways to pay the money. Now the good part about it is that my dad didn't tell people. He didn't say it. The man came out of jail, took him a while, then eventually he paid. But I didn't tell people. He just told me personally, he said, this will happen. No, it's okay. Years later, my dad is gone. And this man called me to his office, a prominent Nigerian, and he said, your dad was good to me. So I'm going to find any ways to do something for you. Now it's good to pray and pray in tongues. But you see, if you pray in tongues and your behavior is bad, no man understandeth it. Very good to learn it. Come on. So I go to his office. He calls me up to do something I've never done in my life. He said, Shago, do you do so and so? I've never said yes. So he said, come. Give us a contract. That contract proceeds was the money we used to have Believers Convention 2009. Yeah. And other things. So one day I was in his office. We're trying to get the full payment. And the secretary said, Oga is never like this, oh. When Oga wants to pay contractors, it can take 2 years. You is hurrying me up. I said, hey, that's my dad. He's not faith in Christ. Because my dad built a healthy relationship. His children and you. Oh, that's how it works. So build healthy relationships. Is that very clear? With people. So here we go. Mephibosheth, Jonathan's son, became a beneficiary of a relationship that was formed without him. Let's learn to build healthy relationships. Do you know that God's friendship with Abraham blessed Israel? Abraham's faith in God blessed Israel. Abraham believed in the Lord. It's accounted to him for righteousness. God chose to use Israel as his servant nation. You know why? Abraham believed in the Lord. 2 Chronicles 20 and verse 7 says, Abraham is a friend of God. Friendship. Now we do have wrong friends. Wrong friends will envy us. Wrong friends will develop jealousy towards us. And we trust God. Sometimes you can't do away with it. It will come around you. I tell people oftentimes, you cannot stop people from being wrong friends, but you don't be a wrong friend. See, I choose not to be a wrong friend to anyone. So what I say is what I mean. What I mean is what I say, whether you are there or not. So we have friends that are enemies. It's for you to know that the natural phenomenon in life, it happened to Jesus. God had a wrong friend. Psalm 41. Learning something? Guys, are you learning something? Psalm 41 verse 9. Let's read it together. Let's go. Let's go. I'm going to wait for you. Are you there now? Let's go. My own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, we did eat of my bread, and lifted up his heel against me. someone I trusted. Are you worthy of trust? Someone I trusted is behind the publication. Someone close to me is the one who sent out the tweet. Someone close to me is the one who did this evil to me. Now, the question is he talking about? There are two people that are very likely he's talking about. Either Absalom, alright, or Ahithophel, or both of them, 2 Samuel 5 and 12. Absalom sent for Ahithophel the Gilonite, David's counselor from his city, and they made a conspiracy against him. Because Ahithophel was his personal assistant, was his major counselor. But Ahithophel, you know, was Ahithophel's daughter, or daughter-in-law, was Bathsheba. So definitely he was upset with what David did to the husband Uriah. And he kept it somewhere. They worked together smoothly, but he never dealt with it. Absalom is also hurt by what his father did, by not punishing his brother who raped his sister, half-brother. And they both came together and formed a WhatsApp group. And said, we are going to get David. They were so close to him. They knew where he was, they knew what he did, they knew his secrets, they knew his weaknesses and frailties, and they were out after him. They acted like friends, and that can really hurt. It can really, really hurt. Look at Psalm 55. David said, it was not an enemy, verse 12, that reproached me. Sorry, for the enemy that reproached me, I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. Alright? Let's take 13 together. But it was thou, a man my equal, my guy, my own. Let's take 14 together. We took counsel together. We prayed together. We preached together. We went for evangelism together. You were the one that did it. Now look at John 13. John 13. This is Jesus' testimony. John 13, 18. I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen. But as scripture may be fulfilled, he that eateth bread with me and lifted up his heel against me. Jesus refers to that text. Judas. Judas moved from privilege to familiarity, familiarity to betrayal against his friends. Jesus called Judas to be with him. Mark 3:14. Judas went against him. Don't become the tool of betrayal, hurt against your friend. You can tell your friends how you disagree with things they have said. You know, and there's nothing wrong in that. But you don't become an opponent because your views were not taken. Because you felt bad. What happened to Judas was very simple. Check this in Matthew 26 and Mark 14 and verse 10. Matthew 26 verse 6, Mark 14, 10 and John 12. Now what happened to him was simple. One day, now he's been around for a while. Jesus now decides to go to the house of a woman, and that woman pours ointment on Jesus, very expensive. And Judas felt, why should he be on Jesus? And scripture says he didn't say that because he loved the poor. He said it simply because he loved money. So he felt, why is it done to Jesus? That was the point. And if you read the narrative very well, as soon as Jesus rebuked him and all of them publicly, because he didn't stop there, he actually infiltrated the disciples and made all of them feel the same way. Some are just very funny. They'll just infect everybody without thinking. By text messages, by phone calls, gradually infusing the thoughts in people's minds. Jesus rebuked them publicly. Immediately after that happened, scripture says he went to the Pharisees. Don't allow rejection of your ideas turn you into an animal. Is that clear? You can become a beast overnight. Oh, you weren't taken. They didn't accept your views. You were rebuked publicly. And then you go become a devil. So he moved from friend to enemy. And, you know, his love of money didn't also help. So a friend became an enemy in Judas because he didn't deal with his own emotions. If you want to know why Jesus betrayed Judas, it's entitlement culture. Same thing with Abel and Cain. That's what happened. Why him? That's all. Why should he be him? Why not me? John 15. You learning something? Are you learning something, church? John 15. I want you to always guard your relationship. John 15. I'm going to read 14. You are my friends if you do what I command you. Now the word friends here is the same Hebrew word in 2 Chronicles 20 verse 7 used for God and Abraham. Someone that you love. To love someone. So you love someone, he becomes your friend. Not that someone becomes your friend, then you want to love him. It's the other way around. You love someone, he becomes your friend. Abraham is someone that God loves. Then he's called his friend. Ahib. The verb of it used 209 times in Hebrew language. In John 15:14, Jesus uses the same Hebrew word, of course, in the Greek. The word philos. P-H-I-L-O-S. Somebody you are fond of. You love to associate with. Someone that is dear to your heart is your friend. So in Matthew 11:19, Jesus is called a friend of sinners. It means he loves them. That's what it means. Luke 7:34, friend of sinners. There are also strange friendships because of conspiracy. Absalom and Ahithophel. Let's see Luke 23:12. People that love themselves because of evil. Always ask yourself, why am I this person's friend? If it's for conspiracy's sake, you are in an evil relationship. If it's to destroy other people, you are in an evil relationship. Luke 23:12. Pilate and Herod were enemies. In fact, in verse 11, Herod and his men at war set him at naught and mocked him and arrayed him in a gorgeous robe and sent him again to Pilate. Now, the same day, let's read it together, Luke 23:12. The same day, Herod and Pilate were made friends. For before, so they became friends because of Jesus. You can have people that you love because they are criticizing somebody you don't like. That is a useless relationship. Well, T.D. Jakes that mentioned this years back, Bishop T.D. Jakes said, you have relations, three kinds of relationships. He said you have those you call, so you call them comrades. Alright? Comrades are those, or comrades now, those that you are fighting together. That's all. Your job is to fight. Usually that relationship, when you have defeated the person you are fighting, you now face yourselves. That is why if you observe, when people are doing activism, okay? And they are, you know, fighting this person, government, society, people. After a while, when the person they are fighting has gone, they will now fight one another. So you have to watch it. So become friends. Because you have a common enemy. That happens when people leave a church and they join another church as ex-members of this church, alumni association. It always is a problem. Ahithophel, Absalom. Strange friendships. Judas and the Pharisees. Strange friendships. It's not sincere. We'll talk about that in the third service. It's not genuine. Because I said one of the principles of a good relationship is a sincere love from your heart. It's not because you are fighting someone. It's not because of sincere and genuine love from your heart. Hallelujah. Relationships built outside of sincere love will either hurt people or hurt you. Hurt people or hurt you. Jesus said a friend will lay down his life. John 15:13-15. for his friends. In John 11:11, Lazarus is called the friend of Jesus, whom you love, whom you love. Ask yourself today, do I love my friends? Are we friends because we're fighting someone, the common enemy, or we're building a relationship to glorify God in the earth, to make sure that, you know, his cause is advancing the earth? We said that last week. Are we expressing the genuine love of God? If our friends that we always gossip, we always just speak about people, speak down on people, plan against others, I'm in an evil relationship. But if it's a relationship where we pray, we build others, we try to speak positively into people's lives, of course also we mind our businesses, then I'm in a healthy, godly relationship. Let me just mention one or two things and I'll close from this service. So last week we spoke about symbiotic relationships as against parasitic relationships where we are both contributing. Philemon 6, the communication of your faith becomes effectual by the participation. Alright? Becomes effectual by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ. So, one way to be an effective person in a relationship is to know who you are in Christ. When I know that I'm born of God, I'm born of His Word, I'm born of His Spirit, the essence, I'm going to talk about it in the third service, you know, the fruit of the Spirit, write this down, because you know, we won't be in the third service, the fruit of the Spirit is your contribution to your relationships. The fruit of the Spirit is for relationships. It's not for God. God is not the one who needs your long suffering. Do you hear it? Huh? Come on. He doesn't need your joy. He gives you joy for relationships. So, are you contributing? So do not get into marriage, relationships, friendships to get joy. To get others to endure with you. To persevere with you. To be loyal to you. No. It should be a symbiotic relationship. You want to contribute. You want to be available. You want to bring joy. We'll look at that much later. So, the first thing is genuineness from your heart. True, genuine friendship. Sincere friendship from your heart. Romans 12:10, I'll close from there. Romans 12:10. Hallelujah. Glory to God. See, I build healthy and godly relationships. I don't build conspiracy, evil associations. Is that very clear? Sincere relationships. I love this person. Jesus said, you lay down your life. 1 John 3:16 says the same. We're going to see this in the third service. One way to know is by generosity. Relationships that you don't give to, right? You are going to destroy. Generosity is one of the ways to keep relationships strong. Be generous. God is generous to us. You have to do the same for your friends. Does it mean spend money? Oh yeah, money, time. No, that's part of generosity. Romans 12. Verse 9. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love. In honor, preferring one another. Is that Jonathan? Is that Jonathan? In honor. Do you prefer your friend? Do you esteem your friend? I told you last week. Don't be the reason why your friends are being dishonored. You should be the reason why your friends are respected. Your wife should not marry you and she loses her honor. Your husband should not be your husband. Because of that, he loses his honor. If you are the wife of a pastor or the husband of a pastor, people should learn how to treat your spouse well by looking at you. If you are the friend of a man of God, a woman of God, they should look at you, how you do it. And they should use you as a template. If you're a business partner to a Christian, it should be seen in you how Christians should be treated. That is a healthy and effective relationship. You learn something? Down in my heart.